Lecture.
حجت الاسلام اسام العطار.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق اجمعين باعث الانبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين حبيب إله العالمين المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حتى إذا جاء أمرنا وفارت النور قل نحمل فيها من كل زوجين اثنين وأهلك إلا ما سبق عليه القول ومن آمن وما آمن معه إلا قليل. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Let me tell you one thing. There was a paper published 2017 in the American Journal of Medicine. This is actually a good journal. American Journal of Medicine. I'll read you the title: Brief Mindfulness Practices for Healthcare Providers, a Systematic Literature Review. What is mindfulness? What is mindfulness? What is that term? Let me explain it. I'll tell you. They define it right here. Mindfulness practice, where an individual, listen please, pay attention. Mindfulness practice, something big these days. Mindfulness. You know, what is mindfulness? Mindfulness practice, where an individual maintains openness, patience, and acceptance while focusing attention on a situation in a non-judgmental way. Did you hear that? Individual maintains openness, patience, and acceptance. Openness, patience, and acceptance while focusing attention on a situation in a non-judgmental way. Can I ask you, what is salat? What is salat? Isn't salat maintaining focus? Isn't salat requiring patience? You have to do wudu, go do your wudu, stand for prayers, and you are focusing your attention on who? Allah. Salat is a form of what they call today mindfulness. Salat is important. If you pray salat the way it is supposed to be prayed, you'll feel peace and happiness. Go do your wudu, pray two rak'ah salat. That's why, brothers and sisters, really we need to turn to Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Need to turn to Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Because we are now, unfortunately, living an era where morality is declining and our youth are just going with that tide. because they don't even realize that what they're doing is haram, what they're doing is not allowed in the religion, what they're doing is causing them a lot of stress. A lot of stress. It's not allowed. Some of our fuqaha, jurists, say that it is not permissible for a girl wearing hijab without any makeup on to post her picture online. Has it ever happened you've seen such a lady, such a girl with full hijab, even maybe with abaya and so on and so forth, and you looked at her and said, "Masha Allah, she's so pretty." Has that ever happened? Okay, so if that has happened, you think these boys are going to look at that picture and say, "Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh." That's why some of our fuqaha have an issue with this case. They say because it can instigate, if you, the ladies, are looking at this lady, she's in full hijab, she may be even in abaya, she's wearing full proper hijab, the clothes are not tight, she's in the proper hijab that is Fatimi, she does not have any makeup on, absolutely nothing. And you yourselves are looking, mashallah, she's so pretty, she's mashallah, she's so beautiful, look at her. Look at her eyes. Have you done that? MashaAllah. You think these boys, what are they going to do, huh? And that's why the same thing goes for boys. When I said earlier in the lecture that you cannot just pose yourself, you know, with, for example, with your six packs. The same thing goes. If you boys look at some boys or like young men and MashaAllah, you say, MashaAllah, look at the six packs, man. If that's what you're saying, what do you think the girl's going to be saying when she looks at you? Astaghfirullah Rabbi atubu ilayh. No. That's why it's also a problem from those fuqaha's perspective to post such pictures online. It's also haram from their perspective. Because you see, that's a problem. This is the world we're living in today. Such things are, there's no limits anymore. Why do we have a sharia? Why do we have the Quran? Why do we have laws of Ahlul Bayt? Because laws of Ahlul Bayt draw limits. Once you cross these limits, then what is the limit? The sky is the limit then. That's it? That's our problem in the world today. Well, Sheikh, what can we do? Well, there are a few steps. First of all, we can do salat. Salatul Layl. Salatul Layl. Pray Salatul Layl. Why is Salatul Layl good? Because first of all, it's in the middle of the night. Quiet. Because second of all, you have to really fight against yourself. Yourself is saying, "Oh, no, I want to sleep. I don't want to wake up for Salatul Layl." But you know, get up. So now you're having this kind of issue, which is good. Because your mind is saying, wake up. Your desire is saying, no, I want to sleep. Now your mind wins. Great. Okay. Third, you stand in the salat and you say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. Oh Allah, forgive me, forgive me. Some of you start crying, wonderful. That kind of environment now puts you in an environment that connects you to Allah, away from that environment that you're exposed to on a daily basis. You've just came out of that environment. It's like you've been exposed to contamination. Now you've just taken a step to decontaminate. So attend for Salatul Layl is very important. That's one. Second, praying Salat on time to the best of your ability. If you're at the university, if you're at work, pray Salat on time. Why? Again, your desire is saying, I'm busy, I have work. You know, I'm in a business and I'm in the middle of a business right now. I have customers coming to my shop. Let me do business. I have exams to study for. I want to study. I'm in the middle of the class. I'm so on and so forth. That's what your desires, excuses. I'm in the middle of watching this game between these two teams. And the last time I said Liverpool is winning for the first time, for God's sake. And they're about to win. So I'm in the middle of this whole game. I don't want to give up that. That's what yourself is giving yourself. However, your mind, your aqid is saying, no. Salat is first. Salat first. Come on. Go pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then come back. One of the brothers tells me he attended a Man United game at Old Trafford. He says, we went there and it was a game between Man United versus Chelsea. So this brother goes, he says, we went to that Old Trafford. We're sitting down with a bunch of brothers and then the time of Salat came. So I told them, you know what? We have to go pray. Time of Salat. They told me, man, Chelsea, Rooney, Ronaldo, whomever. Brother said, you know what? You know, with time of Salat, they go, they pray. They come back. He says, the minute we came back, we prayed our salat. Dhuhr Asr is done. We came back. The minute we sat down, and Ronaldo scores. I told them, man, what dua did you pray? Teach me that dua, please. Allah answered it immediately. And then later on, Rooney scores. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And Man United defeats Chelsea 2-0. I told them, you know, you guys should get some, you know, commission from these guys. Tell them we prayed in your field and we brought you barakat. So, praying salat on time. You're in the middle of the game, but that's fine. Allah first. That conscious, you keep that in your subconscious, you know, that it comes up. Again, it takes you away from that environment. Okay? It takes you away from the environment. So, salat al-layl, praying salat on time. Third, being in the majalis of Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam. Come to these majalis. They really, really bring blessing to your life. Come into these majalis. Some of the brothers tell me, Sheikh, you know, I haven't cried like this before. Do you not feel good when you cry for Imam al-Hussein? Really, between you and yourself, you answer this question. You don't need to tell me. Do you not really feel good? A sense of gratification for crying for Imam al-Hussein. That takes you away from these environments. Again, so you're coming here. In the majalis. What else? Reading Quran and reading dua. Quran, try to read Quran every day. Read dua to the best of your ability. When you go to school, when you go to work, listen to dua. Listen to Quran. Why? Because I tell one of the brothers who once told me, he said, Sheikh, why is it haram that we listen to haram music? You know, the music, this haram music. Why? I told him, I'll give you the following scenario. You're driving on the street listening to haram music. And you see a scene which is haram. You know, something comes on your way. Well, that is haram to look at. In scenario A, you're driving, you're listening to music, the scene comes by. Scenario B, you're driving in the same place, but you're listening to the Quran or listening to Dua Kumail, and that scene comes by. In which case, in which scenario are you more probable, more likely to commit the haram and look at the haram? In scenario A, where they were listening to the music, or scenario B, where you're not listening to the Quran or the Dua? Huh? A, I told him, that's one of the reasons why music is haram. Because it takes you away from Allah. Listening to the music is haram. A sin comes by, you look at that sin, you've just committed another haram. And that will lead to another haram until it goes to Jahannam. That's step by step by step by step. Right? Whereas the Quran, it will minimize this. Dua minimizes. It may not stop it, but at least minimizes it. Minimizes it. So reading Quran, reading dua. Another thing we can do, going in the cemetery. How often do we go to the cemeteries of Shia Muslims or Muslim cemeteries? Go there. Why? Because it reminds us of where we're going to be ending up. One day I was standing at a cemetery, and do you know what happened? It was raining, just like London, it rains a lot. I was standing there, and I see worms coming out of the graves. You know when it rains in the grass, you see these worms, the earthworms coming out? Wallah, I was standing there on the grave, it was raining, I was reading Fatiha. And then I see these worms, and I was like, Subhanallah. These worms just came out of this grave. So when I'm going to go down there, guess what's going to be waiting for me? When you have that in mind, you say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You know, I better really watch my life here. I better watch my life. So go in the cemetery. Every now and then to the best of your ability, because it reminds you of the Akhirah. Again, it takes you out of this environment. Okay? What else can we do? The great manners. Force yourself to have great manners. Finally, self-awareness. Self-assessment. Ask yourself, how am I doing in my life?
Salli ala Muhammad.
Here is something for you guys, a tip. There is a reference from university, came out of California, not the University of California, but the state of California. One of the universities there, a paper came out. It showed that people who write down their goals, if you write down your goals, you're twice as likely to succeed in accomplishing them. So all you need to do is just write down a goal. Say, for example, I want to be a lawyer. Write it down. The likelihood of you writing it down to becoming a lawyer is twice as much as those who do not write it down. So write it down. Say that, for example, I want to have great manners. Write it down. So self-assess yourself. And finally, if you really want to have a lot of sins forgiven, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam says, do a lot of salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Because it destroys sins completely. Salatul Layl, praying Salat on time, in the majalis of Ahlul Bayt, reading Dua, reading Quran, in the cemetery, the great manners, self-assessment and salawat. It sums up the acronym SPIRITS. SPIRITSS with a double S. SPIRITS, the acronym. That's the SPIRITS approach to achieving happiness, inshallah. And take a look at people like Ali al-Akbar, salamullahi alayhi. This young man, who was a young man? He was about 27 years of age. But look, subhanAllah, his iman, his faith, all this propaganda around him, all this kind of provocative things going on at that time around him. But he has a vision. His vision is the pleasure of Allah. So his father, one day on the way to Karbala, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, closes his eyes for a few moments. Then he opens them up and says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'oon." Ali al-Akbar says, "What is the matter, my father?" Imam al-Hussein says, "I hear the call from coming behind me, saying that those people, us, we're going, this caravan is walking, is going, and death is walking just behind it. They're going to die." Ali al-Akbar asks father, "Father, are we not on the path of truth, haqq?" He says, "I swear by my grandfather, Rasulullah, we are on the path of haqq." He says, "Then we don't care. Tell us, let us die, because we have that peace. We're on haqq." Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.